Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
105.3 in Dallas, the call. You saw it on ESPN TV last night, Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys beat the LA Chargers 20-17. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. That game started out with a little pregame brouhaha. Is that what you want to call it? Dante Fowler, Austin Eckler, punches kind of almost thrown, which I've never understood guys throwing punches with other people with helmets on.
Yeah, unless you knock the guy's helmet off. And Dante Fowler's right caught Austin Eckler. He got out of that scrum with the quickness. Austin Eckler coming off an injury, he ain't need to be involved in what was going on pregame. Let's just put it that way.
Well, he was.
Yeah, you might win some, but he just lost one. On top of getting the loss, at the end of the game, he got the loss before the game, too. Like Austin Eckler was 0-2 last night on Monday Night Football.
Brandon Staley, head coach of the Chargers, has now lost 9 games by 3 points or less over the last 3 seasons. The Cowboys are 10-1 after a loss over the last 3 seasons. The game ends on 2 monster defensive plays by the Cowboys, a sack by Micah Parsons, an interception by Steph Gilmore. Dak Prescott doesn't have an interception, does a great job of running the football 40 yards and a touchdown last night, 21 of 30, 272, 2 touchdowns. Cowboys had to win this. They're 4-2, arguably should be 5-1. You want that, obviously, that Arizona loss. You cannot even come close to saying, hey, they should have beat San Francisco. They got annihilated. On the whole, it feels like the Cowboys are heading in the right direction here.
Well, it was a good win for the Cowboys, but I'm not going to jump out the window with this. I mean, the Cowboys still haven't beat a team with a winning record, right? Their teams, the teams that they've beaten are combined 13-16 through week six of the NFL season. Now, I will say that it was nice to see them respond in the way that they did last night. I mean, think about this. The Chargers drew first blood, and then the Cowboys came back and answered with the score. And they did that all night. They answered scores with scores after the LA Chargers got on the board. And I think that's a sign of a good team. And Smalls, you mentioned the record for the Cowboys coming off of a loss. I think that those things matter. And then Dak Prescott's performance individually, I thought, was good. Dak outplayed Justin Herbert. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter. He outplayed Justin Herbert's. When you break out his actual numbers, he was a perfect 11-for-11 targeting CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks. And in the red zone, Dak was a perfect 4-for-4 with a touchdown and a 129 rating. So that's what you want from your quarterback. The fact that Dak Prescott was able to deliver in that spot and be a big reason why the Cowboys won that game last night is a good sign for this team. But I still think they've got a ways to go. I don't think anything for me materially has changed with the Dallas Cowboys in terms of where they stand in the NFC pecking order. I don't. Now, even though the odds in Vegas have shifted a little bit, Dallas, after last night's win, went from plus 1,500 to get to the Super Bowl to plus 1,200. They have passed the Detroit Lions, who are at plus 1,400. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys have passed the Detroit Lions just off of last night's win, given what we've seen from Detroit. So I would stop short of saying that this changes anything in terms of what I expect them to be over the long haul, but I do think this is a step to them getting to where they want to be in terms of growing into a football team that can take on the top three teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I think we did learn something about the Cowboys last night, right? You mentioned the stat that I threw out there earlier for those that missed it. The Cowboys are 10-1 after a loss over the past 3 seasons, but this wasn't just any loss. This was a monumental loss to the San Francisco 49ers. This was a team that was their self-proclaimed measuring stick that yep. went out there and absolutely worked them. They took a lot of heat, and deservedly so, in the week after that, and they had to come out and win this game. It wasn't perfect, but the defense did what they needed to do. They were all over Justin Herbert all night long, and Dak Prescott and the offense were efficient, and they got the win. But if they lost that game last night, and it was a close one, if they lost that game, can you imagine the way we would have torched them this morning? So I think we learned a lot about them to be able to turn the page and close the book on what happened with San Francisco.
The flip side of it, the Chargers. They lose 20-17. They now have a losing record at 2-3. They are a team that has Kansas City coming up this weekend. And I think that what we learn about Justin Herbert is that we don't take his temperature on a week-by-week basis. And I think when we do that to star athletes, it's a compliment. For example, Giannis Antetokounmpo is unbelievable. Losing the first round last year, it's like, okay, whatever, we move on to the next thing. If your team, CC, the Lakers, are in the playoffs, they lose in the first round, LeBron James 20 years in, and he loses, all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. Because he's a megastar. We take his temperature every day on how he's doing. Is he playing well? Is he not playing well? Minutes, whatever it is. I think what we've learned about Justin Herbert is we don't consider him a superstar. We consider him a really good player. We do not take the temperature every single week. We don't constantly bring up that he had a complete and utter meltdown in the postseason last year. We don't look at him the way we look at Josh Allen, honestly. We don't. People are critical of Jalen Hurts after the one loss that they had because of the three turnovers. Justin Herbert, we're not as critical of him as we are of Lamar Jackson. I think Justin Herbert's a really good player. I think if we're going to be true to ourselves, I don't think we look at this guy as a superstar. Not ability, but the way in which we react to him and critique him, he gets very much of a free pass.
Well, he gets a free pass because his head coaches have been the shield of criticism, right? I mean, he came in to the league with Anthony Lynn as his head coach, coach on the hot seat. He's in his fourth year in the NFL, his coach Brandon Staley on the hot seat. And those coaches have been easy targets for their own mistakes, their own coaching gaffes. And so I think we look at it through the lens of good players not being able to overcome bad coaching. But at some point, we're going to get to a place where Justin Herbert is going to get more criticism because he's the common denominator in all of the underachieving that the L.A. Chargers have done. Now, we almost got to that point in the playoff, debacle or meltdown that they had down in Jacksonville, but we put a lot of that on Brandon Staley, and people were questioning whether or not a coach that got his team to the playoffs could actually get fired. I was the one that was advocating for that, even though I don't like to call for people's jobs. I didn't think that Brandon Staley did a great job. I don't think that Brandon Staley does a good job now. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. They decide, it makes the decision.
There's no evidence that he does.
He makes the decision to go for it in the red zone in the second half, and it turns out those 3 points that you passed on, could have used those at the end of the game. So I think that Justin Herbert is a good to borderline great quarterback. What I mean by that is he's right on the verge of getting into tier one. But the only way he makes that leap is that if we see some change in terms of his talent translating to team success. We haven't seen it yet. And we're starting to wonder, when is it going to happen? The organization already made the financial commitment to him. Now it's a matter of Herbert being able to make the requisite plays to put his team in position to win. Justin Herbert got the ball back last night with a little over 2 minutes to go, and his team promptly went 3 and out. And when I say out, that means a pick to turn out the lights in the stadium because the game was over.
100%.
That play can't happen. He's got to be better under those circumstances. Like Brock Purdy in Cleveland on Sunday was awful for the first 58 minutes of the game. Last drive of the game, perfect 4-for-4, leads his team down, puts his field kicker in position for a chip shot field goal. Now the kicker missed the field goal, but they had a chance. They had a chance to win that game. Justin Herbert didn't give them a chance to win that game last night. And that's probably the most surprising part, given that this team was coming off of a bye week and had extra time to prepare. Now, maybe it's because of the finger that Justin Herbert was a little bit off. Maybe he had some off-target throws as a result of that. But there are no excuses. We can't continue to look at reasons as to why he can't produce. When they pay you the money, you got to go out there and give results, and Justin Herbert didn't do that last night.
I think the reason that we don't hold him to the same standards as some of these other quarterbacks that are in the same tier or the same range as him is because, as I've said before, the LA Chargers are in the shroud of meh. I mean, they have a nomadic fan base. They're basically house guests at SoFi Stadium.
Yep.
Any game that's there, we assume, is going to be a home game for the opposition.
It was last night for the Cowboys.
It is for the Rams too, but at least they have won a Super Bowl there and have more of an established fan base. Whether it's the Cowboys or think about this, we talk about Justin Fields way more than we talk about Justin Herbert. And this is somebody who's supposed to be the guy, who's getting paid like he's the guy.
Yep.
They're sitting there at 2-3. All of their games have been decided by by 7 points or less this season. At some point, he's going to have to take that next step and be better. But I think if he was playing for a franchise in a different market or a franchise that had a really passionate fan base, that we would hear about it. We would be talking about it way more.
I just think in this season, we looked at it as Brandon Staley being the reason why Justin Herbert can't get to where we think a quarterback of his ilk should get to. I wonder, does the conversation shift if he has more games like last night where we're saying Justin Herbert is going to get Brandon Staley fired? Like, I mean,
well, I think Brandon Staley is going to get Brandon Staley.
No, but this is the thing. Yes, nobody's going to sit here and argue that Brandon Staley is a big-time coach. And I would want Justin Herbert as my quarterback. Great hair. But what I'm saying to you is that at some point, what we're saying is Justin Herbert will click to the level that he will click to when he has his third head coach. At some point, there has to be a mirror looked in and said, well, I'm not helping with this. I understand my numbers are pretty good, but I'm now in my year, five next year?
Yeah, year
and
five,
I'm going to likely have my third head coach. Doesn't mean I'm bad, but it also means maybe I'm part of the problem. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. There's some part of this here, and I know that we want to be like loving towards Herbert because we think he could be so great, and he can be. And he started out really, really well.
And he's got a beautiful head of hair, too.
I said that, and now you're going to say that again, and we're going to keep saying that. And
I think the hair is
I think we should continue to say that because it is unbelievable, that hair. It is just tremendous, that hair. Even the NFL put out a picture yesterday of his hair. Go on the NFL Twitter.
I saw it.
A picture of his hair.
It's great.
But at some point, there has to be that mirror moment for this guy of, I'm not helping here, because how many other quarterbacks through 5 years could play for three, assuming they have a new coach next year, could play for three coaches, and we only put it on the coach? Again, I'm saying, like you've said of Fields, which we're going to get to coming up, like you're still not writing him off. I like Justin Herbert. I think he's really good, but we cannot ignore the blame that has to go on him if he's on his third head coach in 5 years next year.
Yeah, because the common denominator will be Justin Herbert at that point. At that point, we're taking away the shield that is the organizational failures, the head coaching gaps, and we're putting it on the quarterback. Because if you're that good, and when you have those opportunities in primetime games at home, coming off of a bye week against a team that's, you know, trying to decide which path they're going to take, like I just think those are the games where your quarterback has got to step up. Nobody will sit here and argue that Dak Prescott is a more talented player than Justin Herbert. I think we all see the talent that Herbert's bringing to the party.
Correct.
But last night, Dak Prescott was the best quarterback on the field. That's a problem. And that ain't got nothing to do with Brandon Staley. That's a Justin Herbert issue right there. They've got to figure that out. He's got to figure that out. I'm not saying that Brandon Staley is helping the cause, but Justin Herbert doesn't feel like he's helping the cause either. Since we saw him in week two in 2020, the first time he played in an NFL regular season game against the Kansas City Chiefs, have we seen any material change or growth from Justin Herbert?
No leap. Now, he was high up as it was, right? He was really good right off the bat.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been that leap. Let's look at it this way. Imagine, hypothetically, last night, down 20-17, when the defense was not attacking you all game long, Dak Prescott, instead of Justin Herbert, gets sacked on that play by Micah Parsons or whoever, let's say Khalil Mack, looks rattled, next play throws a terrible pick. That is all we'd be talking about all day today.
No doubt.
All we'd be talking about. Correct. And I understand this, the magnitude of that football team. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. But when the Dallas Cowboys do things right, we get quiet. When other teams do things as wrong as the Chargers did, we don't get that loud.
No, we don't. And the other thing that I always talk about with players, I want to see competitive greatness, being at their best when their best is required. Mm. Justin Herbert, since he's coming to the league, he leads the league in interceptions in the fourth quarter in one-score games. He's got 13 of them.
Ooh,
the next closest quarterback has 8. So there's got to be something to be said for making mistakes at the most inopportune times. That's something that we said about Dak Prescott. Coming off of the loss to the San Francisco 49ers, we had back-to-back-to-back interceptions. We're saying, this guy makes mistakes at the wrong time. Justin Herbert last night, another fourth quarter interception to end the game. Those types of plays can't happen. When your team in the game is in the balance and you've got the ball in your hands, you're supposed to be the difference. That's why they paid you $250 million. He was the difference all right last night. He was the difference for the Dallas Cowboys being able to seal that win.
888-SAY-ESPN is the telephone number to jump in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Are we being fair or unfair here with Justin Herbert? I think we're finally being a little bit critical of him, right? I think we're... Oh, wow. You just distracted me, Jerry.
Can't be critical of that. Look at that hair.
Oh, my God. On the TV side.
Look at
that
hair, too. Aura.
Aura. That's what the NFL put out there. Look at that.
Is this why we don't hold him accountable sometimes?
He's too pretty?
For the play because of the hair? We're distracted by the
hair. That's why I'm allowed to get away with a lot here. Same kind of thing.
He's got really good hair.
I'm envious of his hair. I wonder what conditioner he uses.
Wow, what hair. Can Jerry put that on me? Is that
voluminous.
Possible?
Voluminous.
Oh, what hair. They put out Aura. What a way of saying it. We'll get your phone calls in on that, plus mustaches and wedding songs, as we learned today that CC came down the aisle.
Strong opinions on both of them.
This is the coolest thing about this guy. I don't care that he won a Super Bowl, whatever.
Strong opinions on
mustaches. He walked down the aisle to the Bulls theme
song.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. 888-SAY-ESPN and the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Well, a former great linebacker may disagree with everything that this man had to say. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action as you did yesterday on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Texas Rangers are just basically the greatest team of all time. They just don't lose. 7-0 in the postseason. Crazy. Nathan Eovaldi getting out of jams in the 5th and the 6th yesterday. And the Phillies with a win going up 1-0 in that series over the Diamondbacks. You heard all of them. Carl Ravitch, Boog Shambi on the calls. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So yesterday on our show, reacting to the latest injury here with Justin Fields, a thumb injury where the Bears have said there is no timetable for his return. Chris Canty, longtime NFL player, 11 years, won a Super Bowl, had this to say about the Bears and Fields.
You know why you get rid of him now? Because the guy ain't stayed healthy for a complete season in the 3 years of his career. Why would you think that's going to change this year?
You knew the clock was ticking.
You knew it was ticking. And guess what happened? After a couple of good games, predictably, Justin Fields get hurt. So that's why I told Bears fans it was probably in your best interest to sell high on Fields. If there was a quarterback needy team that wanted to upgrade, why would you not look to offload him now, knowing that he's not your quarterback of the future?
Well, one of the greatest parts about this gig for us, guys, is that many stations across the country, wonderful stations, have hosts that listen to the show and fans that listen to the show and analysts that listen to the show on their way in. And obviously that happened yesterday in Chicago. ESPN 1000, Cap and Jay Hood have been great to us, and we've been on with them. And Lance Briggs is a part of the Bears broadcast on ESPN 1000, former great linebacker for the Bears, clearly was listening to the show and had this to say about what Canty had to say about Justin Fields.
Chris Canty's words don't move me. They don't move me at all. You know, to me, his comments sound like a D lineman trying to evaluate a quarterback. You know, he said he didn't talk about anything technical that Justin Fields does. He said you should get rid of him because he can't stay healthy for a football season. Give me some technical reasons why you should get rid of Justin Fields, not just because he can't stay healthy. Okay, we have a lot of other players that can't stay healthy. He's not one of them. You know, and I'm not saying that Justin Fields is an all-world beater, but he is coming off two of his best games, career games, before moving into this game right here.
CeCe, your thoughts on what Briggs had to say.
I don't know what I need to do in terms of a deep dive when it comes to Justin Fields' availability. We talk about it all the time in the NFL. The best ability is availability, right? The Miami Dolphins. Question with the Dolphins this year is, can Tua stay healthy? That's a big reason why the Dolphins haven't paid him. Now, they picked up his fifth-year option. We'll see what happens. But getting back to Justin Fields, the guy can't stay healthy. You wonder if his style of play will allow him to have the kind of longevity, the kind of consistency that you need from your franchise quarterback, especially when you're trying to determine whether or not it's worth the opportunity cost in passing on not one class of quarterbacks, but two class of quarterbacks. So let's go back to Justin Fields' rookie season in 2021. Justin Fields takes over the reins as the starting quarterback in week three of the 2021 season. Justin Fields misses five games in the second half of his rookie season. Why? Because he's got cracked ribs, Ev. Cracked ribs. Second year in the league. Last year, 2022, Justin Fields, separated shoulder, misses a couple of games. This year, dislocated thumb, he's going to miss time. They don't have a timeline on when he's supposed to be back. You're starting to sense a theme? Is there a pattern there? The guy can't stay healthy. I don't even need to get to the point where we're talking about progressions in a quarterback going through his reads. We don't have to do all of that. The guy can't stay healthy. And then when he is on the field, his productivity doesn't lead to the team winning games.
6-25 in games he started.
Think about 6-25. So we've got over a 30-game sample size, and he's got six wins to show for it. Is that enough to justify passing on Caleb Williams or passing on Drake May or Michael Penix Jr.? Or hell, even the fact that you passed on C.J. Stroud? How do you think Bears fans would feel if they had C.J. Stroud today as opposed to Justin Fields? Probably a lot better about the future of your franchise. Now, I get it. The head coach has been bad. The GM hasn't made any moves that are signature, anything to write home about. I understand the dumpster fire that is the Bears organization. The franchise has not done Justin Fields any favors. But beyond that, the guy's ability to stay healthy and then the fact that you're going to have to make a bigger financial commitment to him, even though he's still an if in terms of whether he'll be a good quarterback, it makes no sense. So I don't need to get technical. I don't need to do a deep dive. This is a situation where you're looking at the obvious and saying, Justin Fields hasn't showed us anything to justify the opportunity cost of passing on yet another crop of quarterbacks.
Yeah, and CeCe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understood what you were saying is that you're looking at him now as an asset. I mean, you always are looking at players as assets, but if you know that you're going to take another quarterback, this situation with Justin Fields is, what can I get in return for him?
Yeah.
And why would I not protect that investment knowing his injury history?
Yeah, that's the part that didn't make sense to me. Now, I get it. You got to find somebody to do the dance with you, somebody that's willing to trade for Justin Fields. And to do it in the middle of the season, it's a little bit sticky. But even with that being said, why run the risk of letting Fields get hurt like he did this past Sunday in week six, 2 weeks after I made the statement? Why run the risk of getting him hurt knowing that he's going to be an asset that you're going to offload? There is no world where Justin Fields is going to be your week one starter in 2024 if you invest a premium draft pick in another quarterback in the 24 class. There's no world where that happens. Justin Fields can't coexist with yet another guy that you've, you know, taken to be your franchise quarterback. So it just makes sense under those circumstances,
of course, yeah,
to get rid of him. Now, the New York Jets, once upon a time, got rid of Sam Darnold, and nobody thought they could, but they had the second overall pick. They wanted to take Zach. They traded Sam Darnold. They got a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. Now, I'm not saying Justin
Fields. Not a great trade for Carolina.
It's not a great trade for Carolina, but what I'm saying is there's always a sucker out there, Ev. There's always a team. There's always a coaching staff that thinks they can get more out of a player than you can. They're going to look at Justin Fields just like the fans in Chicago are looking at Fields. There's athleticism there. There's arm talent there. And because of the dysfunction around the franchise, we'll give the player the benefit of the doubt. But look at what happened with Sam Darnold. The Carolina Panthers are still
holding. It's situational.
The whole thing is situational. It's situational, but my point is this. The Carolina Panthers were enamored with the potential of Justin Fields. They were. And it turns out, I mean, the Carolina Panthers were enamored with the potential of Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as it turns out, Sam Darnold wasn't a franchise quarterback. He's going to be relegated to career backup status. I'm not saying that's the fate of Justin Fields.
No, you never said that.
But it's possible. And my point is this. If it's possible, how can you justify passing on these other quarterbacks that are going to be cheaper options for you?
You absolutely can't.
But that's the situational part I'm talking about. This is not a referendum in full on Justin Fields. It's as much of the concept that the Carolina Panthers have given you their first-round pick. You have the Carolina Panthers' first-round pick. They're the worst team in the league. You're going to have the number one pick in the draft during one of the presumed best quarterback drafts in a long time.
No doubt.
That's the situation we're talking about, right? So for Lance or anybody at ESPN 1000 in Chicago or any of the fans there, the reality is you can say two things. we think Justin Fields could be good one day. We don't think it could be for the Chicago Bears because we have an opportunity to go get Caleb Williams.
But there are the, there are some other things there that you got to mention, Ev. We got to see him be healthy for a full season. We're not going to have that box checked at the end of this year.
And not for them to worry about
anymore. And the other reality that we have to acknowledge is he might not be good.
Right.
It's okay to say that. We're in year three. We're still asking the question of whether or not he's going to be a good quarterback in year three. And as Bill Parcells said, if I got to keep asking the question, eventually I'm going to land on the answer being no. How long are you supposed to wait? How long? We had Matt Nagy. Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat now. He might be fired. We just talked about Justin Herbert being the common denominator across, what, two, three coaching staffs? If Justin Fields is still with the Chicago Bears and they fire and hire a new coach, then at some point we have to acknowledge maybe it's the quarterback. I'm just saying the opportunity cost is too great for the Chicago Bears to pass on one of these other guys, given what we've seen from Justin Fields in his first 2.5 years.
Coming up, is it time for us to start or continue questioning Justin Herbert? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Joining us in studio, ESPN NFL analyst, Super Bowl champion, all-pro player, Jeff Saturday. Before we get into the football, we learned something about Chris Canty today that I think is cooler and more impressive than his Super Bowl win.
All right.
He walked down the aisle with his wife to the Chicago Bulls entrance music.
No.
That's pretty sweet. Cool.
Boss, right?
That is.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have a whole lot of choice in this, Jeff. As much as I want to take credit for it, you got to remember my wife is a 90s baby in Chicago.
Yes.
So, I mean, she grew up born and raised in the South Side.
Yeah.
There was no choice. Yeah. Like, this was all her idea. I'm more than happy to take credit for it.
Yeah. So, Ev's giving you credit, but really, none should be given.
No, exactly. Yeah. Well, as most married men understand, you don't have a lot of say in how your life goes.
No. Especially your wedding day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like 99 to 1, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's your wedding day, what she says is going.
That's pretty cool. Monday Night Football last night. Conventional wisdom is, let's talk about the Cowboys, et cetera, et cetera. And we've done that today.
Yeah.
But we've taken a little different approach on this morning. Why does Justin Herbert not get critiqued like other great quarterbacks?
Oh, that's a great question. I think because his numbers always put – I mean, I guarantee – I don't know what his numbers are right now. He's a top 10 quarterback right now. Like, he's got nine. Oh, right, guaranteed. Like, if you looked at his numbers, his stats, all that kind of stuff, I bet you he's – what's he got? He's got almost – he got 10 touchdowns. How many interceptions? Yesterday was the second pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember them saying that on the cast. But, I mean, when you look at it, that's going to be the deal. People are going to look at it and go, well, his numbers produce. He does this. The numbers are always going to tell you you know, that he's going to be in there. So where is he? You see?
Yeah, he's 13th right in yards. Okay. He is. I'm looking at his touchdowns right now. He is 9th in touchdowns. So, yeah right around the top 10.
So he's going to – yeah, man. So when you're talking about the NFL, there ain't many who can do it. So if a guy can do it and make these plays, they're always going to defer to – It's everybody around you. You know what I mean? Now, he hasn't had that, like, marked moment where he takes his team and just goes, you know, hey, this is what we're going to do with it. In my opinion, though, part of that stuff is on the coaching side. You know what I mean? Like, Staley has been, you know, and I know he gets blasted. I'm not saying he gets a pass. But that does affect the quarterback, right? Like, a lot of those things that you're trying to do, a lot of the pressure that's trying to be, you know, it does go to the quarterback in those situations. And so I think people say, okay, well, if a coach is going to act that way, you can't blame the QB. I think that's why he gets kind of the pass.
Jeff, let's go to the team on the other side of that game last night, the Cowboys. Going into last night, Dallas had the 4 shortest odds in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl behind the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Lions. After last night's game, they have the 3rd shortest odds. They passed the Lions.
Yeah.
Do you think that by virtue of winning last night's game, the Dallas Cowboys are the 3rd best team in the NFC? Or is it still the Lions?
No, I still think they are the 3rd best team in the NFC. I'm going to say this too. Like, people have bet. This was what McCarthy said he was going to do. This was his idea. They get boat raced in San Fran. They go to an away game with the Chargers. They're the better team. Don't screw it up, right? Like, Philly just lost. San Francisco just lost. Let's make up ground, right? And that's exactly what they did. And if they don't give one, you know, the special teams blunder, they don't give that. This game's probably not even that close. And so when you're looking at what they're doing as a football team, this is what McCarthy said. Dak isn't going to have all the numbers. Their people are going to question them and do that. Play good defense. Don't turn the ball over. Protect the lead. Do whatever you got to do. And that's what they did. It's not pretty. It's not what we've come to expect from the Cowboys with Kellen Moore and them lighting up the score. But teams in the NFL don't have to do that right now. For whatever reason, you score 21 points, man, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yep.
So find a way to get to that number. They get to 20, and they find a way to close it out. Defense makes a big play. You know, Gilly makes a great play at the end. But the pressure, they let that D-line go. I know they didn't get a bunch of sacks. They pressured him all night and made Herbert uncomfortable.
Jeff, which team is the biggest question mark in the NFL right now?
Oh, man. The biggest question mark. I would probably say the Eagles.
Mm.
And, you know, you have the whole right side is hurt. You know, when Lane Johnson went down, that was a big deal for me. So they don't finish strong. But it's two coordinators gone. They're trying to figure out who they are. I think they are the second best team in the NFC. But, like, Jalen Hurts has to figure this thing out with a new coordinator. Understanding checkdowns matter. Like, if you looked at that, and Sirianni has to be, in my opinion, a little less aggressive. Like, 3rd and 9, no timeouts. I get it, right? But you could close that game out with a run, punt that thing. Now make Zach Wilson beat you. Like, at some point, and I get, you know, coach's coach. He's an aggressive coach. He always has been, and you do love that. But there are days where you ain't got it. And you saw that. You didn't have it, right? Let's just find a way to get out of this thing, right? And had they punted that ball, make Zach Wilson drive, instead of giving him a short field on a pick that almost was a pick six, it's like, don't do that to yourself. Your quarterback ain't got it, man. He's already turned it over. You've turned it over. Let's just protect this. I think, to me, that's the biggest question mark, is how fast, because they're going to have to score points when they meet up with Dallas and when they meet up with San Fran. Like, they're going to have to figure this thing out. And I think their lines of scrimmage are the best in the NFL on both sides. Mm-hmm. So this should be, to me, the Super Bowl favorite. But, like, we got to see this thing kind of develop on that side for me.
It's such a great point. I have a go-to game when I think about the punting and playing field position. 2018 AFC Championship game, Patriots and Jaguars. They just basically said, Blake Bortles, here, go ahead.
Yes.
Try to beat us. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Jeff Saturday joining us in studio here. Of course, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN today. I gave you one MVP vote. You can either vote for Brock Purdy or Jared Goff. Who are you voting for?
Oh, Purdy. Purdy. I think Purdy has more than shown who he is. And Jared Goff's playing lights out. I'm not taking anything away from Jared Goff, but Brock Purdy, they should have won that game. That's not on the quarterback. Like, they don't have Debo. They don't got CMC. You know, Trent Williams had been out. He comes back in. They're all banged up. He drives the ball all the way down. Ayuk makes a run, and they miss a field goal. Like, you can't blame the QB. I mean, in the moment, and that's what I mean by, like, defining moments for a quarterback. All the chips are down. You ain't got your dudes. What are you going to do? He stepped up. He showed, doesn't matter who I got, I'm going to move the ball down there. We're going to get it in field goal range. And I forget what the field goal was, 40 yards, 45?
41 yards, yeah.
41 yards. What? Okay, so it's a gimme. Like in the NFL, it's got to be a gimme, right? I get you got a rookie QB, a rookie kicker who misses. But, man, he did what he was supposed to do. Those are the moments. That, for the golf situation for me, is when you get into a game like that, when all the pressure's on, it's the on the road, doing whatever, what does that look like? That's what you want to see from both those guys. I think Purdy right now has played as well as anybody.
Well, golf is going to have an opportunity because they're on the road against the Baltimore Ravens in Week 7. So we'll see what that is. But, Jeff, I got to ask you about this, and I take no pleasure in it, but it's the third straight loss for the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
What do you mean you take no pleasure?
I don't. Because we're talking about sustained excellence since Bill Belichick has got to Foxborough across two decades. And so my question to you is, where is the point of no return for Bill Belichick? How bad does this thing have to get this year to seal his fate at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think it's already sealed to some degree. I think
really?
I do. I think Robert Kraft comes in excuse me, and says, "This something's got to change. Like, you either got to give over front office responsibilities. We're going to bring somebody in to bring in talent." Because the GM, Bill Belichick, has really hurt the coach, Bill Belichick. And I'm going to save you from yourself, right? Like, and if Bill balks at that or goes, "Hey, I don't want to," because Kraft's got a duty as an owner of who he's bringing. And you're looking at that football team going, I mean, Parkman, that thing hits you in the hands. They don't got any dudes who scare you. And so, and you can blame it on the quarterback. You can blame it on a lot of different things. Their defense is playing well enough to win. Offense can't get out of their own way. But this keeps showing up. And you try to do it with some coaches that weren't coordinators. Now you're bringing Bill O'Brien in, which is great. But there ain't enough guys. You and I both know, man, Jimmys and Joes matter, right?
Yes.
Like at some point, those guys got to play better than you can coach. And that's every team in the NFL. Some players got to elevate, and there's nobody over there. When the tight end is the guy who you can count on, more than, unless his name is Kelsey, you in trouble, man.
Yeah.
You in deep trouble. Yeah. That's where they are.
Jeff, after a 1-3 start, the Bengals are at .500. Are they back?
They are back. They are back. And I kept saying this. I was like, the team that you – when you were the Ravens and the Browns and you saw – that the Bengals had some vulnerability. You better win games. They left them in this thing. I'm telling you, you're watching this team. The defense is playing good, but Burrow coming back, finding ways to win. They beat a very good Seattle team, in my opinion, and it's a physical game, but Joe Burrow getting healthy, you know, that's as scary as any offense in the league with what he has and his capability and the trust they have in that dude. Mm. That's the part that – And that's not like – I'm just telling you, I played in the league a long – that's not like that for every team.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody looks good goes, man, if my QB is good, we good. That's what they believe. And they trust him. They know he's going to do it. Even when he's banged up, hey, let's just buy some time. And now they're at .500. And I think, to me, the Bengals are the favorite for me for the North.
I can only laugh. Jeff's saying that from experience. He played with Peyton Manning. I'm pretty sure.
I didn't have that issue. Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers. I didn't live in that world.
Rodgers,
I talked to some of my friends about it. You know what I mean?
Jeff Saturday, you'll catch him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern time.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Every day at this time, we hand the ball over to our producer, Pat Costello. He gives us the things in sports and in life he's over as part of I'm over it. Pat, not getting much sleep last night, did go to the Phillies game. His team won. They're up 1-0, and Pat now joins us. What are you over today, Pat?
People who use the term curator of the vibes to describe themselves, that just means you're generic, you're basic, you have no personality to speak of, you're the pumpkin spice latte of life, and you're not interesting, and your vibes probably actually stink.
May we get an example? Who is saying they're the curator of the vibes?
People use that on Instagram and Twitter all the time to describe themselves when they don't actually have a personality or know what to say about themselves.
Or maybe it's just people that you decide to follow, so maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, I need to choose to be around better people.
It's an immediate unfollow if I see that.
It's an immediate unfollow.
I've never heard that term.
Were you following them in the first place, though?
I mean,
if you go to their page and it says curator of vibes and you choose to follow, that's on you, not them.
I mean, they might edit it later. I don't know.
Okay.
Sometimes you do have to curate the vibes, though.
On Sportsmanlike Nation,
Dr. Pepper. Yeah, but you shouldn't have to advertise it, though.
The Dr. Pepper inbox. Can we get people to tweet right now, at Pat Costello 20, curator of vibes? Just tweet him, curator of vibes. Just attack him on Twitter with curator of vibes. What else, Pat?
Golf and golf clubs? Are way too expensive? What happened to golf?
So expensive.
I mean, why is a driver like $700? Why am I paying you $80 to drive in a field for 4 hours? What happened?
You know the crazy part about that is that most people can't take advantage of a driver that costs that much because they're not good enough at golf.
It actually hurts them more than it helps them. Exactly.
Like, you're not on the PGA Tour. You're not going to the tour. You don't need a $700 driver. So if you're shopping for that, bro, chill out. You're just a weekend hacker like me, so you don't need to spend.
Are you a golfer? I didn't know that about you.
I don't know if you can call what I do on the golf course.
Summer?
Golf?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can call it that, but I enjoy being on a golf course for 4 or 5 hours.
But for what reason? The playing or the camaraderie?
Just not thinking about anything else. There's the socialization aspect of it, but it's also an excuse to have a cigar and to drink some beers.
And drive around in the car with your friends.
Exactly.
It's usually
nice scenery.
That's right.
Good weather, you know, so.
But the people who are spending $700 on the driver are telling themselves, well, Tiger Woods won X major with this club, so maybe.
Yeah, because you're Tiger.
But I'm telling you, that's the thought process, is this is the club Tiger used for X major, so maybe it'll help me.
Newsflash, Malls, it's not the equipment. That's not why you're shanking golf balls all over the course.
It's user error.
Exactly. That's why you can't make it through a round without losing a box of balls. You're just not good at golf, and it's okay. And you don't have to be great at golf to enjoy golf. It's like pizza in that way. It doesn't have to be great in order to be able to enjoy it.
Let me tell you, I'm terrible at golf. And there are times when I'm like, I have how many more holes of this left? Like, we have to sit here for how long?
You must not have enough swing lube. You must not have enough swing lube.
What?
Swing lube.
Spell
cocktails.
That?
Swing lube.
Don't just keep saying it.
What's wrong with it? Just means beers. What are you talking about, Pat?
Thank you.
Well, Smalls reacted that way. Two things. One, tennis over golf every day of the week.
We see who goes to golf courses and who doesn't.
Tennis over golf.
Because that is a common term.
Tennis over golf.
So
wrong. Tennis over golf.
We get it, Evan. You love the country club.
I don't belong to a country club.
That's a terrible take. That's the worst take you've had since you've been on this show.
No, it's not. Tennis over golf. I've had worse.
Tennis over golf is a terrible take.
Can we demand a dollar in the jar for
that.
Tennis is way more fun to play than golf. It's not close.
Put up a poll on X or Twitter or whatever they're called. There's no world in which the majority
ESPN.
Of people think tennis is better than golf.
That's right. At Unsports ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN, Dr. Pepper.
Tell us you're an elitist without saying you're an elitist.
Yeah, golf.
Tennis over golf.
So that you can walk around or drive around in the car with your friends.
You can
go to
a random park and play tennis with the tennis court.
Yeah, but you're not chatting with your friends as you're playing. Right, because I want to
win. I want to play and win.
Well, that is why more people prefer golf.
I don't have interest in more friends. I have interest in more wins. That's what I have interest in. The other thing is, people that watch golf drive me crazy in this regard. They always go to the place of, hey, that looks like me out there when somebody shanks a shot. Why don't you do that in other sports? Think about that. How many times have you watched a golfing event, a major, and you said, hey, that looks like me out there?
Because most of us aren't playing football recreationally.
But you play basketball. Right? But you play basketball.
Who's
getting 11 on 11, right?
On Saturday afternoon.
Right? But it does not look like you out there. They're professionals. When you shoot a basketball hoop and you're watching basketball, you can shoot around. When Steph Curry misses a shot, you don't go to, they look like me out there. Next one, Pat. Drives me crazy.
There is a reason for that, though. It's because I can go play at Pebble Beach. Like, I can play courses where professional players played and hit the shots that they hit.
But anyway. You could also play in random gyms, can't you?
Yeah, I'm saying that's why people compare themselves. Yeah, you can walk ridiculous. Up to Pebble and play a hole that Tiger Woods played. Anyway, the last one is, I think there are too many chips. You walk into a chip aisle, like, what's happening? It's a disaster.
Like, flavors of chips, you mean?
Yeah, there's so many. The chip aisle's never empty. I don't know who's eating all these chips.
So
like,
what do
tone
you want?
It down.
So you've complained about the down. Size of the bags.
Yes. Which is a legitimate complaint,
fair,
by the way.
Fair.
Yeah, too much air.
I'm just like, too much variety and diversity amongst chips.
Who's like, oh, yeah, let me get the Philly cheesesteak chips? No one.
I don't know.
I never once.
I didn't purchase because, you know, we're trying to play for the tie, and I already had dessert the other day. Mm-hmm. But I did see hot honey chips the other day that piqued my interest.
Hot honey chips? Who makes them, though?
I think it was... Oh, how do you say it? Utz? Utz?
Okay. Utz is hit or miss for me. Like, we need to do a chip brand power ranking.
Okay.
Because there's a pecking order when it comes to
where are we with Rolled Gold? I love Rolled Gold pretzels.
Okay. You would second, love. You would,
Evan,
you would,
second,
you would
why
love
are we talking
them.
About
but,
pretzels?
Pat, to your point, there are way too many damn chips out there in the chip aisle because most of them ain't good. There's only a few of them that are actually good. That's it. There's only a few.
Ruffles?
There's a
hand.
Ruffles is in there. Good.
Cheddar
Ruffles
and sour cream,
there.
Elite.
Ruffles is there.
The pop chips. I like the pop chips. You like those?
Evan, those are too healthy. What are you doing here? We're talking Doritos. We're talking salt
cool
and vinegar.
Ranch.
Yeah, Lay's Doritos.
Yes.
Exactly.
Sour cream and onion.
Ruffles is
Lay's,
there.
Lay's.
No, Lay's
not
is
as
good.
Good as Ruffles.
Lay's is good. You're tripping.
not as good as Ruffles.
Listen, I know people are going to judge me. The jalapeno Cheetos, outstanding. Like the Cheetos, I'm a
like
big
Flamin' Hot.
The Flamin' Hots,
so good.
Outstanding. Like I'm a big fan of that. The Cape Cod chips, very underrated. The kettle,
salt and vinegar,
the kettle cooked, outstanding. Yeah, absolutely. So and that's kind of
lobster roll.
Yeah, yeah, and that's pretty much about
Evan,
it.
We get it.
That's pretty much about it. And oh, by the way, there goes the golf over tennis.
You want to put
golf,
the dollar in
golf trouncing tennis.
It's unsportsmanlike. That is an unsportsmanlike poll.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.